along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times that was sown."
The parable of the sower is the title of the first parable of the Lord Jesus. Many Bible societies use a logo which is a picture of a sower. Clearly, a reference to this parable. The word of God must be sown among people like a sower scatters his seed. But think about this. Does this title really cover the contents? I mean, in this parable, the focus is hardly on the person of the sower, neither on the seed. To me, the point seems to be that the seed falls in different kinds of soil, and there are four types of soil. Three of them, sooner or later, appear to be unproductive. And ultimately, only one soil is able to produce fruit. So perhaps we should rename this parable to the parable of the four soils. By doing that, we shift the attention from the person who sows to the soils that are supposed to receive the seed. There's one seed. There's one sower. But there are different kinds of receivers. Some bear fruit. On others, the seed is wasted. So our title for the sermon is "The Secret of the Kingdom Revealed and Hidden by Parables." Mark 4 brings us to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It's very busy again. In a short time, Jesus has become a popular man. He even needs a boat to protect him from a pushy crowd. For everyone wants to touch him. Why? They have heard that merely touching him can bring relief from all kind of physical complaints. Now, from the earlier chapters in Luke, it's clear, or in Mark, it's clear that that Jesus is not unwilling to cure people from all kind of diseases. He does heaps of them. But to Jesus, all those healings are merely a symbol. A symbol of the more important healing that he brings, forgiveness of sins. Because that is what you need in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is what Jesus' mission is all about. And therefore his preaching is about that. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But Jesus has found hardly anyone is interested in that message. The situation reminds me of what the great preacher Spurgeon once said. A preacher is not supposed to amuse the goats, but to feed the sheep. And Jesus was well aware of that. Not of Spurgeon's words, of course, but the point that he made. And Jesus didn't want to waste his time amusing the goats. And that's why he now takes some distance from the crowd. And he sits down in a boat and begins to teach. And he doesn't only create some physical distance from the crowd, but he also, at this point of time, changes his way of teaching. Mark tells us, from now on, he begins to teach in parables. And that's a turning point in his ministry, turning point in his approach. And for us, it's therefore important to understand what a parable is and why Jesus used it. Many people think that a parable is a kind of illustration, an image meant to clarify something that you want to explain. A preacher who regularly uses a good illustration can help his audience to understand a point. That's what an illustration is all about. But a parable is not like that at all. It's rather the opposite. A parable is not meant to make it easier for the listener, but to make it harder. A parable is not an illustration to clarify a point, but it's a story with a hidden message. And it demands a conscious effort of the listener to get a message. And as you know, people are lazy. And people don't want to make that effort. They want to have handed to them on a plate. Simple, easy to digest, and off they go. And that doesn't bring them anywhere. And that's why Jesus teaches in parables. Because he puts a challenge there to the people. And only those who really want to know will get a point. So by doing that, Jesus creates a division among the crowd. There are people present there, heaps of them, who are only interested in seeing miracles, in experiencing something good for themselves. But there are also people who have a genuine interest in Jesus and his words. They want to know, what is this man trying to tell us? Now you can have exactly the same in a church. Some may be here only for the experience, for the music, or the fellowship, or the coffee we serve afterwards. Oh yes, they are prepared to sit through a message because that's part of church. And if it's interesting enough, they say, well, nice sermon. And if they can't quite follow what the preacher is trying to tell them, they conclude, oh, this is way too complicated for me. This is boring stuff. The minister didn't have his day today. And that's where they leave it. Such people are not searchers for the truth. No matter how often they come to church, they do not really seek, with the consequence that they never find. But others are keen to find God. They want to hear what a preacher tries to tell. They want to know what it means for themselves. And if they don't understand it, they go and find out, what is it all about? I need to know. I want to know. Please help me understand. See, that is the kind of people who ultimately will find the secret of the kingdom of heaven. So there you have the whole point of Jesus speaking in parables. He creates a division among the crowd, and that division will soon become visible. The people who only come for the sensation of it all, the goats, will soon disappear, disappointed in their expectation. But keen listeners move closer to Jesus to become his disciples. And they are the sheep who recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. And these are the kind of people Jesus seeks also today. Note how Jesus begins his parable in verse 3 with the word listen. And he finishes in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, it's not by seeing miracles that people are saved, it's by hearing the word of God. It is by pondering that word in their heart. And it's ultimately in that process by revelation through the Holy Spirit that people catch it. So if you're not prepared to listen or to use your mind to think the message through or to ask questions when you don't understand, you're wasting your time here. You're better off going out on a Sunday and enjoy some sunshine. Well, not today, but in general. Now today I don't want to go into the details of this parable, but just concentrate on the core of the matter, the receptivity of the soil. Jesus presents himself as the sower, and he implies, my teaching will only bear fruit in you if there is readiness to accept my word. Your heart must be open for the gospel, so that a living faith can produce the expected fruits. The image is beautiful, I think, and clear enough. But the people at a time found it hard to understand. Just to stay with the image, they didn't experience Jesus as a sower who expected to harvest from them. But to them it was just the other way around. They had come to Jesus because they saw him as a productive tree that they could pick from. Go to Jesus and you will definitely find something good of him. Free picking. It's always attractive to people, isn't it? Up to today, it does. Go to Jesus and find solutions for your poor self-image, for your family problems, for your health problems, etc. Get your life under control. It's a very common message in the Christian world of today. But Jesus turns it around. He said, I am not a fruit to be picked by you. I've come to you as a sower. I cast my seeds among you. But I do that with the purpose of a sower. One day, I'll come back for the harvest. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and others around him asked him about the parables. They asked him. Jesus has achieved exactly what he wanted. And he rejoices. Because he says this, the fact that you are asking shows that the secret of the kingdom has been given to you. Jesus has finally found people who seek the kingdom, people who want to know. His disciples and others. Now, what is the secret of the kingdom. And why is it a secret? Now actually, and you've got to understand that, there's actually nothing secretive about the kingdom of God. It's not some kind of mystic or mysterious thing only for certain people to understand, for clever people or people who are mind to it. Nothing of that. It's very simple. And the Bible is full of it to explain what it is. But there is a secret. And the secret is this. The entrance into that kingdom. See, you can stand right in front of the entrance into the kingdom. And people might point at you, that's where the entrance is. And you still can't see it. It's quite possible. For unless God opens your eyes for it, it will remain a secret to you. I'll give you the secret. Because as I said, there's nothing secretive about it. The secret is this. The forgiveness of your sins. That's what it is all about. And that is what Jesus came for. Sin is the great barrier that keeps us away from God. Sin keeps us from experiencing life as God meant it for people. And Jesus' great mission is to remove that barrier. To give us that life back. And that's why he heals people. To make them aware of the great healing that comes when we are reconciled with God. So to make forgiveness of sins available to a lost world is the reason why Jesus died on a cross. And in that way, he brings the kingdom of heaven back to this world. All those who accept Jesus as their Savior and commit themselves to obey him as Lord receive this forgiveness of their sins. And they may now already enter into his kingdom. And it's the most exciting experience of their life. To have your conscience cleared from your sins by accepting in faith the word that Jesus brings. The promise of forgiveness of your sins in his name. A striking point here is that apparently this secret must be given to you. That's what Jesus says. It's not just a matter of finding out. You don't have that in yourself. You can't grab it for yourself, this secret. You can't work it out with your own mind. It must be given to you. Only God can give it, and he does it in your mind with his Holy Spirit. It's a great mystery there. The mystery is, for instance, this. You have to seek it. You have to ask for it. But it's still by God's grace alone that it will be given to you. And that is why Jesus congratulates the people who have come to him to ask him about the parables. And then he says, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you. But the parable shows another possibility too. And Jesus points it out. He said, to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Those on the outside. Jesus means the vast crowd of people who've come. They come for temporary excitement. And some of them may even have come to him to hear a good speaker. But they never caught the real meaning of Jesus' words. Their heart was closed for it and they stayed outsiders. Goats, who at the return of the Lord will be led away to destruction. Whereas the sheep, who heard his voice, will be led to the green pastures of eternal life with their shepherd. And that's the very reason that Jesus, that I speak in parables, so that they may be ever seeing and never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Jesus quotes from Scripture there, from the prophet Isaiah, 700 years earlier. It was exactly the same, and it will be exactly the same forever. See, the people of Israel that Isaiah spoke to, these people had experienced God's love for them for centuries. And God had done heaps of miracles for his people, leading them out of Egypt, bringing them through the desert by way of miracles, leading them into the promised land, miracle after miracle. And yet, their eyes were not opened for what God really was trying to tell them. They'd seen it all, but had remained spiritually blind for what it all meant. They never turned around in repentance to receive forgiveness of their sins and to be reconciled with God and to become insiders in his kingdom. No, they were God's people and yet remained outsiders to his kingdom. Goats, but no sheep. And that leaves us all with the question, what are we? We may be part of God's people, but are we insiders or outsiders? Are we sheep or goats? Are you really interested in God's word? Does it really speak to you? It's easy to examine yourself. What do? When you read the Bible and you don't understand something, do you only say, too difficult for me, and leave it at that? Or do you say, my Father in heaven wanted to share this with me, but I don't understand. But I want to know. And therefore I pray and think until I understand. Seek the help of the Spirit, who's promised to make you understand God's word. You can ask the help of people around you who have been through that same process, have been searching, and ultimately found it. And ask them. See, that's the attitude of the sheep who hear the voice and want to understand what the shepherd expects from them. So are you really interested in the message of forgiveness of sins that opens the kingdom for you? The seed is not a problem. It's sown every day, and it's good seed. The only problem is the soil. And we hope to come back to that another time. And in the meantime, let's pray that the secret of the kingdom may be revealed to all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this parable of the sower. But we are reminded that the key is in the soil, where we are called to receive the seed of the word and let it have roots deep in us so that we may become productive in your kingdom. That you may produce new seed and call others into that kingdom as well. But Lord, before we can do that, you need to reveal to us the secret of your kingdom. And we plead upon your Spirit to work in such a way, through the preaching of the word, through the encouragement of fellow believers, that you would enlighten our minds and hearts so that we may see the point. And that forgiveness of sins is not just one of these words so often used in church and in songs, but that it's a word with a meaning to us. A word that sets our hearts on fire. Finally, we are reconciled with you. We have you in our life. Lord, we thank you for those who have found that. We thank you for your grace in showing it to them. We pray for those who are still searching for it. Lord, encourage them in their search so that they all may find too and rejoice together with God's people. Lord, thank you that you continue to teach us And we pray that you would enable us to listen with a receptive heart. In Jesus' name, amen.